بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Today, very important podcast episode. We're talking about forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and how that creates abundance in life. And also, we're going to talk about how repentance is something which is continuous. It's a continuous act to stay and try and get better. You know, I was talking to Hussein about this, or actually I sent him a message saying that repentance is something which you spend your, it's like your entire, it's a characteristic of a Muslim. You spend, it's something that is unique to Islam, and I love the practicality of Islam because it encourages change. You know, you might be a certain person right now, but truly with submission to Allah and adhering to the principles and the guidelines of Islam, you can truly change yourself and become a totally different person. It could take one day, it could take a month, it could take a year, but it can still happen.
And you can easily see that being someone who seeks forgiveness from Allah is a characteristic of a Muslim by just looking at the people he mentions he loves in the Quran. Mm-hmm. So Allah mentions he loves, you know, the pious, he loves the righteous, he loves those who do good. But he also says he loves those who repent, those who seek his forgiveness, you know, at-tawwabin. Mm-hmm. Right? Allah loves those types of people because Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, like they're the ones who purify themselves, mm-hmm. right? And what does purifying yourself mean? It means obviously trying to get away from those things that are impure for you, right? Obviously, that could mean physical substances, like when you have to make ghusl. That also means things that, you know, make your heart impure, right? Which is sin, getting away from sin. And by doing that, by purifying yourself. And I want you guys to understand what it means to purify yourself, because there's two different types, right? Some people think that they're already pure when they're really not, right? They try to think of themselves above where they actually are. Trying to purify yourself is obviously, that's where seeking forgiveness is coming from, right? Because you recognize you're wrong, you recognize you're not perfect, and you recognize that you need Allah, right? And mm-hmm. Allah also says in the Quran, who can forgive sin but Allah?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? That's the practicality, the uniqueness of Islam. It's, you want to change, do it by worshiping Allah, and do it by repenting to Him and seeking forgiveness and being sincere. Because it's something which, it's not something you, like you do with other people. When you repent, it's by yourself, it's your heart, it's your tears, and it's your, like, your will.
And you're actually reflecting. You know that what you did is wrong, which mm-hmm. is a very important aspect, because a lot of people, they do a lot of things, they don't understand what they're doing is wrong. They don't see what they're doing is wrong. They always think that they're doing something right. Mm-hmm. But when we're sitting here repenting, we're reflecting constantly, right? And that's always going to bring us better.
Because mm-hmm. everyone around the world can have a perspective on you, but only you know who you are. Behind doors, who you are in front of people, your thoughts, your actions. Like a lot of people that go around in the world and they think that their words define them, who they say about themselves will define them. But truly, it's your action. It's what you do that defines you.
People think that it's like, you know, if you do good, good will come back to you. If you do bad, bad will come back to you. It's not, people think it's karma. It's not karma. It's more just about yourself. Allah's going to reward you or punish you based on how you are. Based on how you treat the creation, based on how you treat yourself. If you treat yourself bad, of course you're going to be like, bad things are going to happen to you. You're going to be wondering, why is it happening? And then you're going to start questioning things. And this is where Shaitan wants you to be, feel worthless for like the type of person you are, is when things are going bad and you don't know what to do. You don't know why it's happening to you. You don't just sit there and be like, A'udhu Billah, right? When you get angry. You don't say Astaghfirullah when you think that, okay, maybe I did something wrong, right? Maybe it's my fault, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the reason why I got in this car crash was probably my fault.
That what you just said right there. Maybe it's my fault. That's what, quite literally, we lack accountability.
Yeah, because people are so quick to blame the next person. Exactly. You ask somebody, oh, why did this happen? The first thing that they think of is not themselves. They're always, oh, because this and this and this and this happened. Well, what could you have done to prevent that? What did you do in that situation? Why were you there? You know what I mean? Like, this is a whole lot of factors. Like, you realize that anything that happens to you in life, you probably had some role to play in it.
Exactly.
Whether you like it or not. You know what I mean?
You know, it's actually crazy when you say something like that. It's like, since I play a lot of sports, you know, sometimes I'll play and it'll be a very competitive setting. Dudes will be playing good, but there's going to be dudes who are playing better than them. Maybe the other team beats them and they're talking trash, talking about you're not good, you're trash, you're all this and that. And then I'm like, okay, if you're saying he's trash, then what are you? You just lost. Like, you can't take accountability and just be like, okay, he was better than me today. Maybe he's not better than me all the time. You know, I'll try to be better. But you never take accountability saying, I could be better. SubhanAllah. You never think exactly. that there's a fault within yourself. You're thinking there's a fault with everybody else.
And truly, that's a victim mindset. To think that everyone else is at fault and the reason why things happen to you is everyone else's fault. That way, you can't really change anything. But that's why what I love about Islam and about repentance is that it places the accountability on you. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, a scene on the Day of Judgment where the people blame Satan, Iblis, for what they did. They say that he was the one who misguided. Let's get him. But truly, Iblis, he says something. He says, like, I gave you a promise. Allah gave you a promise.
And you sat there and you made a choice.
You chose that. That's the thing we have to understand here. We have truly free will and we can truly choose whom we want to be. And how do you do that? Actions that you do every single day. This is something also, I love the practicality of Islam. You pray every single day. You do that your entire life up until death comes to you. You can truly say, who were you? Who were you on earth? Were you a sinner? Were you a murderer? Were you a person who prayed, submitted to Allah? You followed it, followed his guidelines. You did this. You were truly a person who believed. It's something which is continuous. That repentance is something which is continuous. Don't think that, okay, I said astaghfirullah, I don't have to worry about that sin anymore. Like, it doesn't affect me anymore.
I asked for enough forgiveness for the day.
Yeah, I asked for enough forgiveness.
That's crazy.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And you know, like, what makes me reflect about that, in Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Dawood alayhi salam. And one of the things he uses to describe Dawood alayhi salam is innahu awwab. Indeed, he was among those who often repented. Why does he use that to describe Dawood alayhi salam? Someone who had khilaf on the earth. He had wealth. He had, you know, he was a mu'min. He was a believer.
He was a prophet of Allah.
He was a prophet of Allah. But he used awwab. He was often repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like you ask yourself these questions, and it's like, perhaps repentance has such a big role in our lives, more than we could even imagine. Because think about it. In Surah Nuh, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about seeking forgiveness? He says, and Nuh alayhi salam said, seek forgiveness from your Lord, and he will forgive you, give you abundance, give you wealth from children. He will send down the rain in you in abundance. He will give you. In Surah Hud, there's also a line of verses. It's actually the beginning of Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll say it in English. And seek forgiveness from your Lord, he will give you a good life. And he will, like, preserve you for a term, and he'll give you all this, and seek, and it was repentance. I'm like, SubhanAllah. Like, and you're reading these verses, and you're like, how often do I see it? Like, there are probably days where I've done things I don't even realize, like, were wrong. And I never sought forgiveness, and perhaps that's what's withholding my provision, or perhaps that's what's holding me from doing better, or perhaps that's why my iman feels off today, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, with istighfar comes also gratitude, right? So it's like, you see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he sought forgiveness at least 70 times a day, but he was free of sin. He was free of those misdeeds, right? He was free of, you know, Allah having to punish him for anything. And the same thing when he prayed, you know, most of the night till, like, his legs would swell. He says, should I not be a graceful servant? Even though he's already revered as the most, you know, perfect of mankind. He's already, you know, going to be in the highest, place in Jannah. And he's going to be the one who can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start the Day of Judgment. He's given this type of status, right? But yet he still does all of these things. And that's why you look at his character, right? If he sought forgiveness, what are we? If he sought forgiveness 70 times, he did nothing wrong. Like, what are we supposed to be doing? We're doing things we don't even know are wrong. So we should be multiplying that like tenfold, right? If he's seeking forgiveness 70, I should be doing 700, bro. Straight up.
And it makes you think, perhaps our concept of forgiveness is kind of like, it might be a little bit skewed. Like, think about it. He sought forgiveness. He sought forgiveness and like of shortcomings and whatnot. Think about us. How many shortcomings do we have? Do you truly think the day that you live today was the best day that you could have lived in your entire life? You did exactly everything. It was perfect. If you were to write on a paper what your perfect day would look like in terms of, you know, faith, mental, physical, like getting a productivity, is that what today looked like?
If you want to think of your best day, what it really would really be, it's doing something purely for the sake of Allah. And the only thing that you would really be able to think of is when you leave the dunya and you go to Mecca. If you're in Mecca and you're doing Umrah, that whole time that you're doing Umrah, like, that's purely for the sake of Allah. There's nothing on your mind. You're not thinking, I have homework due tonight. You're not thinking, oh, I have to go back to my job. No, I'm here to worship Allah. When I'm doing tawaf, I know my du'as are getting accepted. I know if I'm seeking istighfar, I know it's getting accepted. I know when I'm doing Safa and Marwa, no matter what I'm saying, it's getting accepted. SubhanAllah. That's really when you're like, when you leave that, you're like, okay, this was like the best feeling I've ever felt. I wish I could do this every single day. Right? Same thing with, like, when you think of Ramadan, what are you doing? You're willing to, like, give up a lot of stuff, right? To make sure you can worship Allah. People are giving up sleep, right? They got to be up at 5 a.m, but they're like, I thought I'll wait until midnight. Because they're like, this is the best month for me to do this. This is the month where, you know, we pray Taraweeh, right? This is the month where everybody's in the mosque. This is where the month where you'll see Muslims who are Muslim, but they end up being in the mosque only in this month for whatever reason it may be. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with my community, right? And that's where that feeling comes in. Right? We think that, oh, it's only bound to be in Ramadan, but you can make it more than just Ramadan. Mm-hmm. The Prophet, look at the way that he was with his community, with his Sahaba, right? There's only good that you've seen from like his character, right? They were never talking about, like, even when there was times and it was hard, they can still look at the times when it was good, right? And I'll tell you an example. There was a Sahabi. I don't know if you guys know about this hadith, but he asked the Prophet, who's the most beloved to you, right? And he was asking this because the Prophet gave him a responsibility. He thought he was so honored with this responsibility. So he thought he was the most beloved to the Prophet. So then he asked him, who's the most beloved to you? He said, Aisha radiallahu anha, right? Obviously his wife, of course. That's, you know, known. Then he was like, no, out of the men. He said, Abu Bakr, right? Then he said, who else? Then he said, Umar, right? Then he kept going on of like the Khulafa al-Rashidun, right? Uthman and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhum, right? So he stopped asking because he feared that he would be last of like the people he loved. But look at the character of the Prophet. He showed so much love to this Sahabi right here that he thought he was the most beloved to the Prophet. He saw the sign.
SubhanAllah.
Right?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And another thing that, like, you know, comes in with seeking forgiveness is, like Usman said, is going to increase you. Right? Because you showcase your need for Allah. It's not just that, oh, I need to be forgiven for my, like, misdeeds, but maybe I didn't live to my full potential today. Maybe I didn't do my best today and I should seek forgiveness for that. Because what is Allah going to ask you on the Day of Judgment? Everything. It's not just about your deeds. It's about everything you did. Maybe the way you spent your time isn't always going to be right or wrong, but the way you spent it is going to be, you're going to be asked about it. How do you want to answer about that, right? What was the reason why you didn't live your best day today? Mm-hmm. Should seek forgiveness from Allah, because maybe Allah will help you do better tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I need Allah to forgive me for, you know, not utilizing my time to the best of my ability today, right?
Bro, just think about the times where you endured the most change. It was times where something went wrong or you did something wrong, either to yourself or to somebody else, and you really sat there and you reflected and you were like, man, like, I shouldn't have really done that. And you just start to think, you ask Allah for forgiveness, and then you always find a way to become better. Like, that's sincere repentance right there. When you're not being sincere, you're just, Allah, forgive me. You just keep on going, knowing you're going to go do the same thing tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, and you feel like you don't got a problem.
And I remember we've mentioned this before. Like, it was something Usman brought up way back in the day, right? When Usman was talking about the difference between like sinning intentionally and sinning out of weakness, right? That's where, you know, istighfar is going to get you. Sinning like out of weakness and seeking that istighfar, you're really going to feel that, subhanAllah, right? And if you've ever done that, right, and you've slipped up one time and then you immediately sought forgiveness and like you were crying to Allah, right? That's how you know, oh, I really felt bad for this. I'm going to try my best not to do it again. Or you understand, you know, the story of like, you know, if a person goes and they sin and seek forgiveness. But we know that's not a sin intentionally. He's just weak. He's a weak man. It's fine, right? You're going to keep seeking forgiveness. And Allah tells you he's going to keep forgiving you so long as you are sincere in that repentance, sincere in seeking forgiveness. But when you do it intentionally, what happens when you start doing things intentionally? Now you start doing it in public. Now you start doing it in front of people. Now you start being okay with other people seeing you do it.
You don't have any shame. And then it becomes insignificant in your heart. That's one of the scariest things, is that a person, or like, you imagine you sin so much, or you do like, and you disregard it, you don't seek forgiveness for it. And then your heart just becomes like, you're just one of those people, you can't tell right from wrong. You can't, like, you don't even see, like, you can't bring this person around like your parents or something like that. Or you can't bring this person in a public setting because it's just no filter. It's just nothing.
Like, imagine, you're someone who, if, you know, someone's advised you on something and you feel like you're still struggling with it, but you continue to do it, you have to seek forgiveness or else you're never going to get through it. Like, I promise you this, if you can't seek forgiveness for something, because then you're not being real with yourself. How many times we got to tell you that if you're not able to be real with yourself, I understand this is a weakness. I understand this is a strength, right? I understand I'm doing this, right? For example, if a brother struggles with, like, let's say, riyah, right? He likes to show off because he has a really nice body. So he struggles like covering his aura sometimes, right? Maybe he posts on social media about it. People tell him like, look, you should try to cover it up. And he tells people, may Allah make it easy for me. That's all you say. You don't go in private and, you know, seeking forgiveness from Allah, for Allah to make it easy for you or anything like that. How are you ever going to get through that? Mm-hmm. How are you going to get through this struggle, right? You think it's a, if it's actually a struggle for you, you're going to do something about it.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, and let me explain something to you. And this is something that, you know, sometimes you don't realize. Like a brother, he might be revealing your aura, and like you might not realize this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and this is probably one of my favorite verses, "Hal jaza'ul ihsani illa al-ihsan." Is the reward for good anything but good? If you give up anything for the sake of Allah, for the sake of God, is the reward for good anything but good? Can you expect any recompense except goodness? Like, if you truly believe in the day of judgment, you truly believe that you're going to be held accountable for your actions because they're yours. And it encourages a sense of self-identity, because everything that you do is yours. It's your action. No one forced you. You did it yourself. It encourages the self-identity. Is the reward for good anything but good? Let's say it was the hardest thing for you. It was heavy upon your heart, but you left it for the sake of Allah. How could you expect anything but good? And how could you, like, do you not have any belief in, do you not have any iman in Allah that he's going to recompense you with something better, something greater?
Yeah, I was about to say,
you're going to feel better.
Yeah. And on top of that, we know that whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will only replace it with something better.
Exactly.
Do you not want better? Do you not want better for yourself? You got to really ask yourself this question. And matter of fact, talking about being real with yourself, when you're sitting there at the end of the night and you're thinking about what you did in the day, you have to understand, like, you might not even wake up in the morning, or tomorrow could be your last day. I don't know how many times, like, we have to, you know, sit here on this point, but you better be thinking about this every single day. Like, you never know. Everything could be going perfectly fine, and you could literally be that same exact person. Oh, I was just talking with him 2 hours ago. Now he's gone.
Bro, SubhanAllah, I was actually like, I was thinking about that these past couple of days. Like, whenever I'm praying, I'm like, would I be satisfied if that was my last prayer? Sometimes it's like, okay, I feel like this prayer was, you know, pretty good. But then, you know, I'm always trying to look at, okay, what can I do better? How can I, you know, make it better? SubhanAllah. And, you know, it's crazy how fluctuating, you know, these types of things are. It's like some prayers, you know, I'm reciting really slowly, right? I'm reciting one ayah at a time for Surah Fatiha because that's the way the Prophet ﷺ did it. So it's like I'm really understanding every single word that's coming out of my mouth. Sometimes I'm taking a few more seconds in ruku', right? You say, you know, Subhana Rabbil Azim, but like you really just sit there for a second and like contemplate on that. Same thing when you're in sujood. Maybe I'm making dua, right? Elongating my sujood for a little bit because you're closer to Allah, right? Elongating, you know, for a second when you're in between your sujoods, like these types of things. And sometimes you're not always mindful of it, right? Because we have the dunya, this distraction, right? It's nice. It's nice to live in this dunya for a time. But when that time for prayer comes, when it's come time to remember Allah or to seek forgiveness from Allah, that's where your time is to disconnect, right? Let me put my efforts towards the hereafter.
Look, let me put something into perspective for you. When you truly understand that Allah holds dominion, and it's like everything, all the affairs that happen in your life, you could try something, you could work hard towards something your entire life, but if Allah didn't decree that for you, it's not going to happen for you. But you take that and you understand that, you know what, I'm going to take these prayers seriously, and then you're going to find that your heart would be more content and more, you'll be better in all of your endeavors. You'll find that if you take the religion seriously, like as serious as possible, you don't try to be mediocre. You're always trying to get better. It's every single day. That's why I say it's continuous.
When you're talking about doing something good and the reward for that is only good, I want you to think about the person who struggles to pray. If you're someone that struggles to pray, that might be something that's, you know, kind of good for you in a way. Now, hold on, let me explain. Because in those moments when you really don't feel like praying and you still get up and pray, that could have been your most sincere prayer that you ever prayed. Because in that moment, you fought everything in yourself, all your desires, everything that's in front of you, the dunya, and you got up and you prayed to Allah. You think Allah's not going to reward you for that heavily, immensely? Think about that. Like, there's a lot of people that talk about, oh, I struggle to pray. I got this and that and the way I'm busy and this. Like, just imagine you put all those things to the side and you really said, all right, I'm gonna pray. Like, I'm going to put my prayer first. Think about it. Think about the reward.
I'll be 100% honest with you right now. This is the realest thing I'll tell you right now. If you've ever struggled to pray, because all of us at some point probably have, especially if you're a young person, right? That was the reason I prayed. The dunya was all in my way, but I was just like, look, am I really going to let that get in my way? Like, how long do you want to live life and you call yourself a Muslim, but you struggle to pray so much so that you put it off? You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, no, that I can't let that happen. I can't keep letting this like slip by me, right? I can't let this blessing slip by me, because then you only live life without knowing. You have no knowledge of nothing, right? You don't know why good happens to you. You don't know why bad happens to you. You think your good is only by your works, meaning you have to work super hard. You have to work harder than everybody else in the world. That's how your mentality is. But when you're Muslim, you can work hard, but you don't have to overexert yourself. You don't have to overburden yourself because you understand Qadr. If you don't understand Qadr, if you don't understand the decree of Allah, if you don't understand that if I put my efforts towards something or if I want something, I can pray istikhara. I can make dua for it. If you don't understand these things, then you're going to kill yourself in this dunya trying to work towards it, right? And in doing that, you're going to lose Allah. That's literally how it goes. But when you have Allah, then you're like, okay, if Allah brings me this dunya in abundance, that's cool. If He doesn't, that's also cool. And I will be content with it no matter what. Those are the types of principles that, you know, you'll be taught. So, like, so long as you look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you understand, you know, like what Qadr is, right? Why it's such an, why it's an article of faith.
You place your concerns over, you know, like your endeavors and your outcomes, really your concern should be over your heart. And it should be like, how could you let something, like some people let things affect them so badly that they'll go into disbelief because of it. They'll be like, okay, I don't, because I remember we talked to, like we had a non-Muslim friend years ago and he used to say like, how could God let this happen or something like that? That's why I don't believe in God. I'm like, how could Allah let this happen? Like, I'm like, bro, you let something affect you this much to the point where you were to disbelieve in Allah. Don't you know, like, this world, like, for some people, it's the death of a loved one. For some people, it's, you know, like, hunger or something like that. Like, don't you know, like, this world's a test?
And I was going to say, it's all about perspective. You might look at somebody dying as a reason not to believe in God. The next person will be like, this is going to bring me closer to Allah.
Yeah.
And that just shows you, like what we talked about last week, like people will be put in very different situations or very like similar situations, but very different outcomes.
Yeah.
Like we probably all heard the story of, you know, the two boys that grew up with the alcoholic father.
Yep.
Right. One grew up to be very successful. One grew up to be an alcoholic. And they asked, like, how did you get here? They both said, I watched my father. Like, you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, like it really just shows you, right? Like when you sit there and you just think about it, that the guidance really does come from Allah, because if the guidance didn't come from Allah, you'd be being put in that situation. You would have ended up on the bad side.
And I like that's why I want people to think about like letting things affect you so much, right, that it could take you away from, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's those verses in the Quran that they reassure me a lot. And it's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you He could have given everyone their due guidance, right? But no. Like he sent the guidance and it's perfect as it is. He didn't, like, if everyone wanted to adopt it, they would have, because it's their choice. Same thing with Allah could have given provision to everyone, right? So much that nobody would have needed anything. You wouldn't even be able to give a poor person anything. But then how is anybody's character tested? When you see someone poor on the street, what are you going to do? When you see someone who's needy, when you see an orphan, right? When you see these people that Allah has given them less to, how are you going to help them? Right? If everybody had everything, right? If there was no blind person on earth, if there was no deaf person, right? Because we're born with these blessings, so we think we're entitled to them. But then as soon as you see someone with it, you're like, why did God do this? Instead of, how can I help this person? How can I help make their life easier, right? Nowadays, we have technology that can help people, right? That can help blind people see, that can help deaf people hear, that can help people who can't walk, right? But you still don't think, oh, how can I help them, right? Allah gave me abundance, how can I help them? Allah gave me water. How can I donate to this water well? Because you know what is like donating to something like a well being built, right? That's like a sadaqah jariyah for you, right? And it's these types of things that you think about when you try to chase the dunya, right? Let's say you want to seek wealth, but if that wealth is not consuming your heart and you're like, I'm willing to give it back, that's where you'll never feel like, oh, this life is boring. I'm depressed, because you're willing to help people. You're willing to give back for the sake of Allah. Allah gave you, so you're willing to give it back. That's why you see these people who, when they can give so much back, they're not consumed by this dunya. They know that this money is just going to come and go. They sought it and, you know, they're going to give it back. And that's why you see some rich people who they give in abundance, even though they're non-Muslim, Allah's going to keep giving them. Because what are they doing? They're still doing good.
It's a good investment.
They're still doing good. But it's like, obviously, if they were to do it for the sake of Allah, now they're getting raised in this life and they're getting raised in the hereafter. Wow. Right, like, and I want you to understand how easy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it for you. What is the smallest form of charity you can give? It's a smile. What's the next thing? You can give like a little date. Not even just a date. Like you can give like the seed, right? Or like the date palm or the date stock or something like that, right? Yeah, you can give something, a small, half a
Either
date.
Either way, it's half made easy for
yes,
you.
Yes, half a date. And the reason I bring this up is because there's a verse in the Quran. Allah talks about people who give from the wealth, like in prosperity and in adversity. I believe it's in Surah Ali
Imran. Even though they love it too. Yes. You have to add that. Even though they give from their wealth, even though they love it.
And it's when I read adversity, I was like, dang, bro. Sometimes when people are like going through a little bit of a tough time, you know, they try to hold on to their money. But you don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, he bro, tells you
even,
that.
Even like, bro, that doesn't that just reveal the consistency? You know, the heart, you know, the Arabic word for heart, qalb, like, you know, it comes from the root word iqlab. Like, it's constantly changing. Imagine, bro, every single day, bro, it's I believe it's a hadith. A man, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, a man can wake up in the morning, he's a believer, and by the nighttime, he's a disbeliever. And it's like talking about our time. Imagine, like, the heart is constantly changing, but Islam encourages a continuous repentance, constant tawheed. Every single day, you can try and be consistent. I'm going to give when I got a lot, when I got a little. It doesn't matter. You can't change the personal life because you're a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. You got to also understand, like, when you're put in a bad situation, that one little thing that you did could take you out forever.
Yeah.
Like, the way I also look at it is, like, even, like when you pray a sunnah prayer, imagine that this one sunnah prayer is like makes up for like all the prayers that you miss. You never know. Like, you really never know. Like, this could be the reason why you're saved and you go to Jannah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'll tell you what. Sunnah prayers are something that really can come from sincerity, because it's like, it's an extra form of, yeah, you know, like remembrance to Allah, right? You're trying to turn to Allah extra, right? I feel like I should do more. And this is that principle I was talking about is like, it's part of your emotional intelligence. It's called motivation. You know, that constant drive to want to do better. Right, we understand the five pillars of Islam is it's sufficient, right? Praying five times a day is sufficient for you to be a Muslim. But for you to go further than that, to be a submitter, to be a believer, right? Why is there the Sunnah? Why did the Prophet go the extra mile? Because the things that he did, and I know some like Sunnah, but if you can follow that, you will be amongst the best of the people, the best of the Muslims. Why? Because that's who he was, right? If you're less than that, obviously it's going to be hard for you to try to elevate yourself. Elevation's only going to come when you try to do more. When you try to get stronger in the gym, what's going to happen? You're going to try to lift more weight, right? And you're going to keep constantly trying
to
do that.
Simple equation there.
Yeah.
You do more, you get more.
Exactly. Like, you do more, you're going to get more. The more forgiveness you seek, the better, the more Allah's going to provide for you. And that's the realest thing you can ever
do. And let me ask you, like, what other alternative, like, what's stopping you? Like, what are you, like, what's stopping us? Like, what's stopping you? I don't understand. Like, what other goal is there to life? What other goal, what other outcome are you chasing? Are you just going to sit here and every single day it's about entertainment? Every single day it's this hedonistic lifestyle where you're seeking about pleasure. Oh, I only do what feels good. I only do what makes me feel good. I only do what I don't. Like, what's stopping you? What type of life is this? Like, I don't understand. You only do things that make you comfortable. You're just going to stay in the little shell of your pathetic life.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, yeah, that's very true. And on top of that, you can't even enjoy the good times when you just sit there and you're always comfortable. You always have everything that you want easily accessible to you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, subhanAllah, like, even put it in perspective, we started this podcast, I was uncomfortable. I was as uncomfortable as crap. I was uncomfortable. And it don't, like, but then look at the outcome of it.
Like,
subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, it's so interesting because the aspect of like seeking forgiveness, it only increases you. And it's literally a form of remembrance to Allah, but it's like it's one of those things that, you know, are what people who seek to be righteous will do. Deeds most beloved to Allah are, you know, things that we can do consistently, even if they're small. But something like istighfar, it's not small. Something like saying subhanAllah, not small. Something like saying subhanAllah wa bihamdi, not small. See how easy the Prophet ﷺ tried to make it for you to be able to seek forgiveness? Saying subhanAllah wa bihamdi. You're not even saying the action of I seek forgiveness from Allah, but your sins will be forgiven. SubhanAllah. Your minor sins will be forgiven even if they are as much as the foam of the sea.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
That brings up another point.
Go ahead.
Like, inna al-hasanat yudhibu al-sayyi'at. Even doing the good actions, they prevent like the bad deeds. And really think about it. Think about it practically. If you busy yourself with trying to do good and trying to do like be the best, and you're moving fast at it every single day, this is all you think about. You're not gonna have time. You're not even gonna be thinking about sinning. You're not even gonna be thinking about like anything. You're not gonna be thinking about anything else. If you curate your thoughts to only think about doing good action, you curate your thoughts to only have good thoughts about other people, so that you only say good things about other people. You're not gonna have time. You're not even gonna. It's not even gonna feel like a battle
and
within yourself.
SubhanAllah, look at this wisdom and like look at this mercy from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the mercy that when you do wudu, your sins are falling off. When you're praying, your sins are falling away. Now see, if that's all you think about, or if that's something you're aware of, and you think, oh, like I've been forgiven because, you know, I was praying and whatnot. But that action of seeking forgiveness from Allah is like calling out to Allah with dua, right? Mm-hmm. Allah knows what's in your heart, but what is it? Why is calling out to him so beloved to him? Allah is shy against his servants, right? He doesn't want to turn you away. Same thing if you seek forgiveness. If you say astaghfirullah, right, in your heart or out loud, Allah's not going to want to turn you away. He's indeed, Allah forgives all sins, right? And what did he say after he, you know, created the heavens and the earth, right? What did he put with him in the heavens?
He wrote for himself mercy.
He prescribed upon himself mercy, mm-hmm. right? It precedes his wrath, right? It comes before his wrath, right? So the more you seek forgiveness and, you know, you seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you're going
to
find it.
And I like the thing that you brought up regarding supplication, like supplicating to Allah, even though he knows what's in your heart. And Surah Mu'minun, remember, bro, I was showing you those verses about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent messengers in procession to the nations, and then each of them denied them. And then each of them, like, they got destroyed and they were turned into narration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَمَا يَتَدَرُّونَ, they did not humbly supplicate. They did not seek Allah's forgiveness humbly, like tears. Like when I say humbly, it's like you truly, in your heart, you were determined. You felt bad. It's not even just feeling bad. In your heart, you're trying to turn away from the person you used to be and trying to become a new, entirely different person. You did not try to do that. But if you do that, like Allah, so like the implication here is that if they had done that, it would have saved them from punishment. It would have saved them from evil.
SubhanAllah, we see like only the reason why it's for some people maybe hard to seek forgiveness is because we see only certain things as, you know, the criteria to seek forgiveness. Let's say you do like an outright sin, right? Let's see, someone eats pork, right? Of course he's going to seek forgiveness for that. He knows that's haram. But imagine you waste an hour doing something stupid, right? And that whole hour you should have been praying, right? Also time came, but you waited a whole hour because you were watching a movie or something like that, mm-hmm. right? Let's say that you didn't seek forgiveness from Allah for that. Oh, Allah, forgive me because, you know, I was preoccupied with this, and it should not get in the way of your remembrance. Mm-hmm. You don't think that that's something that's wronging you, right? You don't believe that to be not good for you.
You know, there's something that substantiates in the Quran. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was occupied. He said, I think it's also in Surah Sa'd. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was looking at, the story goes that he was looking at horses and he was occupied with them and he missed the prayer He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness because he gave love to the creation over, like, and he forgot his remembrance. It was true. It was unintentional. Like, he just truly forgot, but he sought forgiveness for it. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, see, and you see that. He sought forgiveness even though he genuinely forgot, mm-hmm. right? And, you know things like, for me, I understand that, okay, like, let's say you set an alarm for Fajr, it doesn't go off. For whatever reason, you don't get up. You're not sinful for that, mm-hmm. right? You pray when you wake up.
You still wake up and say stuff.
I'd still wake up and like try to seek forgiveness because even for me, it hurts my day, even though I know that, but I understand it in a manner where I don't want shaitan to take over and be like, oh, you missed it, now it's over for you. Like, no. It's more just like, look, you could do better. Tomorrow you're going to make sure your alarm is set, you know,
inshallah. Set an extra alarm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you understand intention, then you know, okay, my intention was not to deliberately sleep through Fajr, mm-hmm. right? If it happened on accident, may Allah forgive me, right? Mm-hmm. But that means I'm humbling myself because I know I still wronged myself. Like, what? That's not what I want. I didn't want that for my day. I didn't want to sleep through Fajr during that, right? Same thing with if you get preoccupied doing something, right? You're still like, you're doing a homework assignment for too long. You're like, oh, I just need to finish this thing. I just need to finish this thing. But it's like the time for between Asr and Maghrib, it's closing in on you, man. It's closing in and you're not getting up. I'd seek forgiveness. Like, you know, Allah, may Allah forgive me for, you know, letting this thing take precedent over his call to prayer. Mm-hmm. Because if Allah was right in front of you and he said, it's time to pray, what are you going to do? I got this homework problem? The Lord of the world is telling you it's time to pray. What are you going to do? Right? SubhanAllah, that's why, you know, not being able to see him, that's really like a test. You know, him being part of the unseen and him only being known to us but a little bit, it's part of, you know, that his wisdom and his mercy. Because are you really going to answer that call to prayer when it comes? When you hear the adhan going off on your phone, are you feeling that? That's Allah calling you to prayer, right? So, got anything else?
Nope.
All right. So, inshallah ta'ala, that's going to close out this podcast, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And if you guys enjoyed, you know, try to seek more forgiveness throughout your day, something all of us should be practicing, inshallah. Don't ever underestimate, you know, the as-sunnah, which is, you know, making tawbah, right? You can pray and you can seek sincere forgiveness and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's very important to have sincerity in your hearts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that sincerity and allow us to renew our attentions. Say ameen. But with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. We're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.